Hello, everybody. We are in our live stream, and we appreciate everybody joining us for the live stream. Of course, couldn't have a live stream. Couldn't have anything without First Star Logistics, and we're right here in our studios at First Star Logistics, and we're loud and proud in the First Star Logistics studios, and we caught up with Bengals head coach Zach Taylor after the first 53-man roster was set, and it had to be set by 4 o'clock today. And at 4:15, Bengals head coach Zach Taylor addressed the media and answered questions about said roster. Like I said, it's the first edition. During the course of the week, there's going to be some tweaking that's done, that's for sure. So I guess one thing that people were talking about, and a lot of people have made the decision, Kevin Huber gone, Crispin in. My feeling was, it has to be a knockout of Kevin Huber. It can't be a split decision. It has to be a knockout. I felt like Kevin Huber was going to probably end up having a good chance to keep the job. Let's find out what Zach Taylor thought in that decision-making process with Kevin Huber and Crispin.
I think Kevin, you know, Kevin's had a really strong last couple weeks of camp. He's been consistent. We know where we're getting there. Again, we think we've got a strong football team, and he brings the consistency to that we're aware of, and we think he'll do a really good job for us.
And I think that's the thing. They think they have a playoff caliber football team. I don't think they want to make changes just for the sake of making changes. Has to be a knockout. And he's good as a holder. He's a great directional punter. Decided to stay the course. All right. So like I said, we're talking about tweaks to the roster, and that's going to be the case around the National Football League. There are teams banging the phones right now for trades. Trade deadline's not until October. So earlier, asked Coach Taylor about tweaks to the roster.
This is the initial roster, but there's still maybe some tweaking that's going to be taking place over the next few days. So how much of that do you anticipate?
It's hard to predict. You know, we'll certainly spend our time looking at the wire tonight. We're very late in the process there at 31. So, you know, I think last year we claimed 2 guys and we had the fifth spot. So it becomes a little more difficult the further down you are, but certainly we'll make sure we're aware of the landscape of who's out there and be ready to make decisions if we need to.
Kwame Lassiter and Pryor, these two wide receivers, these two young rookies, we're making statements to try to make the football team. I think if nobody claims them, they're going to be coming back to the practice squad, both of them. I think, though, that that might not be slam dunk. I think somebody may be grabbing one or both of those wide receivers, but see what Coach Taylor has to say about those young wideouts.
I think anytime, you know, whether there's been a pass where we've kept anywhere from 5 to 7 receivers, there's a lot of positions like that where the guys are trying to do the number count, predict how many we'll keep, and so it's never fun breaking that news, but those guys have certainly had strong camps for us. They do what we ask them to do. I think Troy does a really good job managing that group and helping all those guys get better, and they understand that. And so certainly, you know, if the practice squad works out for those guys, we'll willingly continue to work with them.
And boy, that's a good group at the wide receiver position. I think Irwin made another case to be a practice squad potential candidate. And then finally, how about at the corner position, Alan George? You know, there has to be other scenarios to take place that give you a clearer path to make a roster. And obviously Cam Taylor-Britt with that core muscle surgery gave an opportunity to a corner. Alan George stepped up. What about Alan George making it?
Well, Alan George becomes the latest rendition of it doesn't matter how you get there, it's what you do once you get there. I mean, Alan George just was consistent and got better every day, I guess.
I agree with that. You know, I think he had a strong last couple weeks of camp and continued to make plays when his number was called, got his hand on the ball a number of times. And I think that just continues really what Duke and the scouting department have done here with their eye for undrafted talent. You know, they do a really good job of putting us in a good position to acquire some of those guys and then bringing in the right ones that have a chance to make the roster. And there's just a history over a number of years, again, well before I got here, of undrafted guys getting an opportunity here and making the most of it.
So that's Bengals head coach Zach Taylor, just about a little bit of information that he gave us at a 4:15 press conference. It, I guess, went, I don't know, close 25 minutes or so. Very forthcoming, as he always is. I don't think there are any huge surprises on the Bengals. They basically released to free agency three players. They're eligible to sign with another team right away or re-sign with the Bengals. Trayvon Henderson, safety. Defensive end Noah Spence. Wide receiver Mike Thomas. Look for Mike Thomas to be a guy that the Bengals do re-sign. They waive 23 players. And no real big surprises in that area. I don't think people would be shocked at any of the names that I'm not going to read all 23 names, but tough day for those young men. 16 will return as practice squad players. I mean, I can, as I was going down the roster of for the last preseason game, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I almost came up with 16 real quickly. So I don't think it's going to be a major issue. There may be 15 or 16 guys that the Bengals waived that they would bring back to a practice squad in a heartbeat. And that's not including other guys that are on the waiver wire that may not decide to stay on the practice squad with the team that gave them an opportunity at training camp. The Bengals can pick them up and add them to their practice squad as well. So there's going to be, they have to be exposed on the waiver wire for a 24-hour period. And the Bengals will hopefully be able to announce their practice squad players at some point tomorrow. So that's 16 player practice squad is big. It's a big deal. There's no question about it. So let's get out to some questions that you folks may have out there on this cut down day. Bengals getting down to their 53-man roster for the first time. Jesse Bates, by the way, is still on the commissioner's exempt list, and that'll take place until tomorrow. So that's another. There are so many lists to keep track of. Duke Tobin and his staff, they have a busy day, no question about it.
Oh, I was going to say hi to Yash.
Yash, yeah. Uday again from London.
Because it's five. If I remember, my son was 4 years in London with the Air Force.
Yeah.
So he's like five hours ahead of us.
5 hours ahead of us.
If I remember correctly.
So it's almost bedtime for Yash. And sleep tight, Yash. Uday to you as well.
Zach looked a bit sad. It must be tough being a messenger, man.
I mean,
it's tough for both sides, messenger and receiver.
Yeah, tougher for different reasons. Receiver is crushed. You know, it's like you gave everything you had, didn't leave anything out there that you felt like, oh, if I had just done this, had just done that. The tough part of it is if you get injured, but not injured to the point where you have to miss time, but you're really not playing at your full potential, that can be tough. But honestly, it's tough to hear that news, I'm sure. And it's very, very tough to give it. I mean, every coach you talk to, man, last thing they want to do is look a young man in the face and look into his eyes and say, you know, I know you gave me everything you had, but it just wasn't quite enough. You know, it's just not there at this point. I'm going to have to move on. Not saying that we can't maybe work something out down the road. With the 16-player practice squad, you can ease the pain a little bit because you can say to as many as you want to that you're a practice squad candidate. If not for us, for another team in the National Football League, there's no question about it. So it does ease the pain. Paul Brown used to call it, I look forward to it because it's an opportunity to tell a young man that it's time to get on with his life's work. Because he said here in the National Football League, if you play 5 years, you're fortunate. If you make it, you're fortunate. If you play 5 years, you're triply fortunate. And if it goes longer than that, you're unbelievably fortunate. So he said, I really don't have an issue with telling some young man that it's time to get on with your life's work. So that's the way he looked at it, as an opportunity to tell him to move on. Tough. That's a tough dynamic. There's no two ways about it.
We're going to go back to Yash here.
All right.
His thing is you and I have had this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
We started talking about it after the last preseason game. Yash says he thinks Huber can't punt as far, but he's a good placeholder. McPherson can kick at 60 yards. not the best punter anymore, but we'll be punting it less.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is, like Zach said, we have a good team. And why mess with the operation of, if not the best, the top two or top three kickers in the National Football League, Money Mac, snap holder huge. And if he's approaching that ball not even thinking about it, it becomes even more automatic from as far as 60 yards. And remember, early on, Darren Simmons said, if punters are usually holders now, so holding becomes 60% of the punter's job, and punting the football is only 40%. And I was like, wow, and that's a big statement. Kevin Huber's never muffed a snap. Never in 14 years. So you can't get any better than that. So it's like, why mess with it? And the way that final preseason game worked out, like we talked about, Chrisman got an opportunity to do exactly what he does best, boom it. Kevin Huber got an opportunity to do exactly what he does best, which is directional punt it and pin him inside the 20, maybe even inside the 10-yard line. And neither got had to experience something that they don't do as well. I mean, if they had reversed the situations in the two punts that they each got, it would have been interesting to see who could have handled the other better, because both punters were able to just, in Chrisman's case, he uncorked a 65-yarder and I hit the 5-yard line for a touchback, went in the end zone, 45-yard net, though, not too shabby. Bottom line, like I said many, many times, though, in my opinion, had to be a knockout punch, not a TKO. And I think that Chrisman put up a heck of a fight. It went 15 rounds. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it was a slugfest. It went 15 rounds. And there's a good chance that he's going to be Buffalo or somewhere in the National Football League. Buffalo drafted a rookie punter. He got himself in some hot water. No doubt about that. Buffalo didn't want the PR nightmare. Chrisman may have a shot there. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes down. But Kevin Huber, in Darren Simmons' eyes, like Zach was talking about, consistency, knowing exactly what you're going to get, no uncertainty, no question in your mind. You have a good football team. That was the decision.
Yeah, and as you said, something good's going to happen for Drew Chrisman.
Oh, yeah.
So either someone's going to pick him up or he's going to be back with the Bengals.
He'll be on their practice
squad. Practice squad guy.
Yeah, if nobody picks him up, that is one heck of a practice squad player right there. And he's been that before. He's been on the Bengals practice squad already. And he's been on and off the Bengals practice squad. So, you know, it's I don't think his career of punting in the National Football League, I don't think that dream is over. I don't think it's over by any stretch. We'll see where he ends up.
Dave Lennox says, Laps, who's one of your favorites as a person that made the team?
I'll tell you who one of my favorites, and this young man, Alan George, the undrafted corner out of Vanderbilt, I'm sorry, two great academic schools out of Vanderbilt, Villanova, yeah, Howie Long, that's the last great Villanova player. This young man, married, head straight, I mean, head on his shoulders, very, very, very sound individual. I think he's very mature. Mature, but beyond his years. And the Bengals and their scouting department, headed up by Duke Tobin, have unearthed these college free agents that have traits, and the Bengals can project them making a football team. And you can tell representatives, their agents, and these players, look, when you come to Cincinnati, you're going to have a very, very fair shot. Our philosophy is it's not how you get there, it's what you do once you get there. Doesn't matter if you're a first, second, third round pick or a college free agent, you're going to get a chance to show what you can do. And if you show well, you're going to have a chance to make the football team. Here's another case of it. Now, again, Cam Taylor Britt's injury that to that core muscle is a factor. But when opportunity knocks, you have to be ready to answer the door. And Alan George threw it open. I applaud him. I admire him. And, you know, he beat some long odds. Eat some long odds for sure. Gotta respect a guy that handles his business that way.
Yash felt that they should have re-signed Quentin Spain, put Jackson Carmen on practice squad.
Cleared waivers. Yeah. I think some other organization or line coach would say, give me a shot at him. I can change. I can make him a player. I'm not sure. You have to clear waivers to be put on the practice squad. You just don't go from, okay, well, you're on our training camp roster, we're going to put you on our practice squad. All these guys that are waived, 16 of the waived players, not necessarily all from the Bengals waivers, but other waived players around the league, everybody's trying to fight for those practice squad spots now. So, yeah, Jackson Carmen is one of the offensive linemen that made the team at this point on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, and saying, hoping that T-Gray Scales makes it. I hope he gets a chance to be on the Bengals practice squad. I'm a huge T-Gray Scales fan, having known him since he was a sophomore at Coleraine High School and watched his high school career and his career at Indiana, and knowing personally, great young man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's bounced around a couple places, and he's just looking for that opportunity. I think whenever he gets that next opportunity, he's going to grab it fully.
You know, it's interesting. The Bengals are a good example. I mean, the linebacker position, the numbers are dwindling. Everybody's playing nickel defense. Everybody's base defense is only two linebackers on the field. Used to be three. In a lot of cases, teams were playing 3-4 defenses with four linebackers. So teams would carry 7 and 8 linebackers. The Bengals right now, 5 linebackers is a big number. And that's what they're – that's the situation. That's the reality of it. You know, and he's facing a little bit of a numbers game. But I'll tell you what, when he got his opportunity to play against the Rams, stepped up, made plays. He was a stat sheet stuffer, and that's all you can ask for. So it'll be interesting to see if he clears waivers. If he does, no doubt he's on the Bengals practice squad.
And as a teaser, we will have comments from Coach Brian Callahan and Lou Anarumo that we did today, and they'll be starting to roll out tomorrow. That brings me to Stephen McCoy, who says, how many D-line and O-line will be on the roster?
Yeah, okay, let's count them up right here. At this point in time, you have the 5 starters. You have Jonah Williams. You have Cordell Volson. In my mind, he's the starting left guard. Have they officially announced yet? I don't know, but I've made that vote in my mind a while ago. Ted Karras at center, Alex Kapp at right guard, LC at right tackle. Then Jackson Carmen is number 6, or I'm just not going in any particular order of excellence here. It's just the numbers. Trey Hill, number 7, Adeniji, number 8, Deontay Smith, number 9. And that's what they're looking at right now. Nate Gilliam has been waived. I think he could be a practice squad player, the player who they picked up from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Desmond Noel has a high ankle sprain right now. He's dealing with a little bit of an injury issue. Cochran, the tackle, has been waived. He could be a practice squad candidate. And Isaiah Prince is the other offensive lineman. So there are 10 offensive linemen on the Cincinnati Bengals roster right now. And then on the defensive line, there are 5 edge players and 4 defensive tackles. 4 defensive tackles are Reeder, B.J. Hill, Tupo, Zach Carter, Shelvin and Dominique Davis, and Tisdale. They're all waived. One of them could be a practice squad player potentially. On the edge, you got Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson. Obviously, you got Osine, you got Sample. So you got those 4. And let's see. On the Jeff Gunter is number 5. So you have 9 defensive linemen currently on the roster. That's what we're looking at on your offensive and defensive line. 10 O-linemen, 9 D-linemen.
Dave, we talked about this subject earlier today in between some of the videos about how good it is to be on a practice squad right now as far as payment.
Yeah. Well, not the practice squad. How about guys making $40 million to play quarterback? How about guys making $30 million to play wide receiver? $20 million to play corner? So it's filtering down to the practice squad. I mean, that's the NFL is a cash cow. The NFL is a 500-pound gorilla, and it eventually will filter its way down to every level of employee in the National Football League. So if you're a young person that's going to school, and not just football players, but if you want to get into a front office or some sort of a sports employment, for your working career as an adult, man, consider the National Football League, because it is a cash cow. It's just rich. I mean, money is just, it's like you turn on the spigot and money pours out. So it is, it's working its way down to the practice squad, and it's pretty good eats. Not bad. And really, as a practice squad player, you're not playing the games. You're not getting beaten up. And real during the course of the week of practice, there's no severe contact there. It's a pretty good job for the sake of, you know, doing what you're doing and giving the your teammates, the other team's looks in terms of formations and plays and getting them ready to play in the game that weekend. That's a pretty good job. It's a lot better than working for a living. I'm telling you, when your avocation and your vocation are the same thing, whether you're a superstar in the NFL or a practice squad player, life's good. Life's good. No doubt about it.
Dave, was four running backs a shocker to you? It was for Crystal.
Yeah, you know, Crystal, I asked Zach that very question in the earlier press conference. And, I said, you know, Travion Henderson, Williams, I should say, Travion Henderson got waived, but Travion Williams, the running back, he just flat out won the job by his performance, you know? So it's, will it stay at four running backs? That's the question. We're talking about the tweaks that are going to happen during the course of the next few days, you know, and guys that are like the last running back, you know, like Williams, the last lineman, offensive lineman, they could go from 10 to 9. They could go from 4 to 3 at the running back situation if they have to. Just because you made this first version of the 53-man roster does not mean that it's cast in stone for you. There are still guys on this roster that their status is cast in jello. I mean, 53-man roster. On game day, it goes down to 46. There are 7 deactivations. But to be on that 53-man roster on game day is big. It's big. There's no question about it. And will Williams get there? The next few days will tell.
Derek says, Dave, do you think Frank Pollock is making a mistake by making all of our backup O linemen play every position instead of developing them into a particular position?
No, I don't. I mean, I think that if you're a backup center and that's all you can play is center, it's not good enough. I mean, if you were in that mindset, you'd have to keep 10 offensive linemen. You'd have to have 5 starters and 5 backups every single game, because if your starter goes down, you have to have another one who's just playing that right tackle position, one that's just playing that right guard position. Even starting offensive linemen need to be able to play more than one position. In this era of positionless players, the more you can do, the better off you are. You have a much stronger position with the football team, with the organization. If you've got some versatility and position flexibility, there is no doubt about it. No two ways about it. Like Trey Hill. Trey Hill can play center or both guards. If you've got one guy that can be your primary interior offensive line backup, it's pretty good. Pretty good. And like Jackson Carman, going to have to play right and left guard now. He's not the starter at left guard, so he's going to have to be able to play right and left guard. If you're not a backup tackle, you have to be a swing tackle. You have to be able to play both right and left tackle. It's just the fact of life in the National Football League.
Yeah, and having a brother who played at the collegiate level, offensive line, he played during his career. He started games at both tackles, both guards, never had to start at center, but had to be able to show that, and even had a game where he played tight end.
Yeah. Well, I played 2 different games. I played all 5 positions in the same game. So, you know, I was affectionately named the Tool by my teammates, because your interchangeable drill bit could play, you know, started at one of the spots and went up and down the line of scrimmage, playing series at all 5 spots in the same game 2 different times. And I credit Jim McNally for developing that and having confidence. You know, you have to be able to handle there's different physical requirements at all the spots, and there's different assignments. But the thing is, it helps you as a lineman, because you're not tunnel vision. If you are just playing right tackle, all you're going to do is focus on that right tackle. But if you have to play other positions, now you're going to see the big picture. You're not just worried about what you're doing. You have to understand what everybody's doing because you may be playing one of those other positions. So, you know, if the guard pulls, is the tackle blocking down? Is the center reaching? Is there a fullback filling? What's going on? What's going on everywhere? Not just one position. Understand the big picture. That helps everybody. That helps the entire football team. There's no doubt.
As we said, we talked to Brian Callahan. Aaron, based last day, what's your opinion of Thad Moss? Coach Callahan praised Thad Moss.
Yeah, said he's Thad Moss is a guy that he thinks very highly of, that he has a great competitive nature, understands the game of football. Thad Moss, his gene pool, obviously, is extraordinary. Thaddeus Moss was a teammate of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase in that LSU powerhouse football team. Thaddeus Moss made a ton of plays that helped LSU win a national championship. So Coach Callahan likes what Thaddeus Moss brings to the table. And there's no doubt that Thaddeus Moss, if he clears waivers, not picked up by somebody, he will be on the Bengals practice squad as well.
Gabrielle says, Alan George going to take Eli Apple's job next year.
I don't know. I wouldn't jump into way into big conclusions. If they make a move at defensive back, the first guy to go would be Alan George. So Alan George is kind of the last man to the party, which is great, but I wouldn't start leapfrogging him everywhere. But the first thing you have to do as a college free agent is make the team. And Alan George made the 53-man roster. Will he make the 46-man roster for the dance against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Don't know about that. We shall see.
All right, we'll go to Andrew, basically asking, and you kind of already answered it, is Cordell Volson officially LG1 now?
I don't know if it's officially been named or has been declared or whatever, but in my estimation, I don't see how he's not. Unfortunately, Jackson Carmen was stricken with COVID and missed the New York Giants game. Cordell Volson played every snap, and before the game and the pregame and the radio said, you know, I might as well have Cordell Volson take every snap at left guard, go through an entire evaluation of the guy. Well, he ends up with over 90 snaps, and Jackson Carmen only had over 30. So Jackson Carmen got all the snaps in the last game against the Rams. And, I look at Volson, and he's got anchor ability. He's got balance. He's got power. And he's not a stiff out there in space. And that's Jackson Carmen in space is extremely athletic guy. But, again, you're talking about the high bar and the low bar. And how much separation is between the high bar and low bar in terms of consistency of play. Cordell Volson's is tight. Jackson Carmen's is wide. And from a trust standpoint, when coaches are dealing with guys that are up here and down here in terms of what's going on a snap-by-snap basis, it gets to be a little bit more difficult. Now, is Cordell Volson playing perfectly? No, nobody is. Nobody does. But one thing about him, he doesn't make the same mistake twice. I mean, football is very, very important to him. He wants to be a good player. He's part of a program that while he was there, won 4 national championships. He was a 2-time captain. He's made of some good stuff. He's made of the right stuff. There's no doubt. I think when lineup against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think he'll be the left guard. And Cam,
we've had Karras on multiple times. Uh-huh. He praises the young man.
Yeah, he likes him a lot. And Karras is going to be very, very important to his development. There are no two ways about it. And I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, all they've done is lead the NFL in sacks 5 years in a row. So you talk about dipping your toe in the water, you're doing more than that when you line up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they've got inside pass rush, they've got edge pass rush, they've got it all. So Cordell Volson is going to have to be ready to to face a lot of things against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And there's nothing better for defensive linemen than a rookie or a freshman in the college level offensive lineman, because they know they have some advantages.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how quickly he can close the gap, and we'll see how much help that he needs. That's the thing. You know, it's like, all right, you know, there's ways to help the interior offensive line by sliding the center, but then you might have to keep a back end for protection to help on that side, or a tight end. Now, all of a sudden, you're taking people out of, on the opposite side, you're taking people out of routes and all those kind of things. So you'd like to be able to say, all right, young man, I feel you can handle this one-on-one, and we're going to just run our offense. And that's the way I hope it unfolds. We'll see. It's going to be it's not all you're doing. Like I say, when you're playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and pass protection is usually the toughest thing for a rookie offensive lineman. Guys, run blocking is more natural. You want to come off the ball and hit people. Pass protection is an unnatural act. You're retreating. They're coming at you full bore. You're going backwards. They're going forward, and you have to combat them. It's not an easy thing, believe me. And he's going to be doing it against a high caliber player.
Yeah, I always say, offensive lineman or offensive line is a skill position.
It is. There's a skill set for sure. There's no doubt about it.
I'll let you take Mr. Whisper.
Mr. Whisper, Dave. The Bengals look hard at the cuts around the league for depth. Help at the offensive line or cornerback? Or will they bet on what they've got? They're definitely looking at the waiver wire. Every team's looking at the waiver wire. If you think you've arrived, you're wrong. Everybody can always get better, and the Bengals are no exception to that. So they're checking every avenue out they possibly can to make the back end of their roster, the middle of their roster, whatever it is, make it better. And every team in the league is going through that same process. So every personnel department is burning the midnight oil right now. And honestly, leading up to this, every personnel department has been anticipating who might be on the waiver wire for a while. And now they're seeing how close they came to making those accurate predictions or not. So it's not like, I don't think they're necessarily surprised by all 23 guys that are on the Bengals waiver wire. Most teams probably had 20 of them, or maybe even more, in mind. So they have an idea of who's going to be there, and would that guy, if he's there, this is a better defensive tackle than what we have over here in terms of our fifth guy. Let's make that move. But like Zach said, as far as the Bengals are concerned, they're 31st in that process. The Rams are 32nd. It's just like the draft. It's the order of how you finish in the season. The team that finished worst gets the first pick. The team that had the most successful season gets the last pick. And the Bengals got to the Super Bowl but lost it, so they're the 31st pick on terms of claims off the waiver wire, just like they were in the draft this year when they made their six selections in the draft.
I got to say, everybody, remind everybody, you are in the trenches. We're here at the First Star Logistics Studios. We can't thank First Star enough today. You've been here longer than I have today, and I got here 11 o'clock, something like that.
I got here, earlier than that. I got here about 10.
So, and they were kind enough to get us pizza today.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
I tell people all the time, hey, if you're looking for a new career, you want to go someplace exciting and fun, First Star Logistics is the place to go.
Take care of you. We're talking about building a team is what we're talking about here. We're talking about putting together, you know, the best roster you possibly can. That's what First Star is always trying to do. Get the best roster they possibly can, put together the best team they possibly can. It is. It's all about teamwork here at First Star. Everybody takes care of each other.
Jim Harden, Dave, says, Dave, were you surprised Mike Thomas, wide receiver, and Trenton Irwin were cut?
Mike Thomas, wide receiver, there's no doubt they want to bring him back to the 53-man roster. And, once again, guys that are injured, if they decide to put them on injury reserve after making the 53-man roster, they're only out 4 weeks instead of for the season. So there's procedural things, there's lists, all that sort of thing. They're definitely hoping that Mike Thomas is there. Now, will he maybe not be? Yeah, there's a chance, because he's definitely in their special teams plans and all that sort of thing. So Trent Irwin, I think if he clears waivers, practice squad. They're all over that with the practice squad. I mean, they'd like to have him with those two young wide receivers, those two rookies we talked about earlier. I mean, you know, if you have a wide receiver practice squad of Irwin, Lassiter, and Pryor, you got two rookies, you got a veteran. I mean, that's a pretty good – you have a mentor, you have two young guys that are eager to learn. That would be a great dynamic on your practice squad. There's no question about it. I don't think it'll happen. I don't think that all three of them will necessarily be available to be picked back up by the Bengals on their practice squad, but that's the nature of the beast in the NFL.
Say hi to Les. He said hi to both of us. I'll let you go ahead with the question.
All right, Les. Les Hernandez, how concerning is the fact that although better on paper, games aren't played on paper, no doubt about that, Les. My point, offensive line can play with fluidity. Houdet. That is the key, Les. The offensive line playing with fluidity. It's five playing like one. That's what it's about. And there has to be that cohesion in the running game, not just in pass protection. It's huge, obviously, protecting your quarterback, but in the running game, it has to be everything. And I've said this and talked about it many times. It's like a fist, Les. You don't think about making a fist. It's an involuntary reaction. When all five offensive linemen are playing like they're supposed to play, they're like that. It's five playing like one, and it's a big, strong fist. If only four are doing it right, not curling that thumb to finish the fist. If only three are doing it right, you're not curling all four fingers and wrapping the thumb. I mean, have to have all five components on the same page, understanding everything at the same level and playing as one. That's the bottom line, Les, and that's the key to success offensively in the National Football League. You are right on it, my man.
Asking about Clay, they said Johnson with Johnston.
Johnston, right. Does he make the roster in that linebacker room? Yeah. How do you waive him after he had a 20 tackle, 16 unassisted tackle performance? Clay Johnston got himself a job against the New York Giants. There's no question about it. I mean, it was an unbelievable performance when you talk about all the defensive snaps and special team snaps he took that night. It was about 80 snaps. So he's a factor on special teams. You look at some of the big plays that he has made here in Cincinnati. He is he's a guy that is definitely made the roster. There's no two ways about it. Now Keandre Jones didn't. Another really good young linebacker who, if he clears, they're going to gobble him up for the practice squad. We talked about Tigray Scales. Linebacker room is pretty darn good too, but Johnston did make the first 53-man roster that we're talking about here as of 4 o'clock on Tuesday.
We were talking about, again, about what practice squad players make. I just did a quick look up for 2022, 11,500 a week.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a little bit different and it goes up. And then there's if they have the kind of a second group. So there's a first group of practice squad and a second group. The guys who have some NFL experience under the belt,
right?
They go anywhere because they can value anywhere between 15.4 to 19.9 per week.
Yeah, but when you look at a guy who's making $40 million a year divided by 17 weeks, I mean, we're talking $2.5 million a week. What? Crazy! It is. It's sick. It's huge money out there.
Dave, your salary that's in 74.
That's not even NBA money. NBA money puts that to shame. It's crazy.
Yeah, your salary in 74 is practice squad money.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
For 1 week.
Absolutely. Well, no, not little, for 1 week.
Little more.
26,000. It was big. That was and like I've told this story before, Kenny Riley is, "What'd you get? What'd you get, Rook? 26." 26. Took me 5 years to make $20,000 a year. I mean, times have changed, but boy, it's all based on those TV contracts. When the networks pay the big bucks, it all trickles down, man, trickles down. Plus, the Players Association has done a pretty good job negotiating on behalf of the players with the NFL's management council that represents the owners. It's been some give and take, and everybody's making money, believe me.
Yeah, those salaries go up yearly. By 2030, you're looking at $16,750 a week. And then if you have years, you're looking between 21.7 and 26.2.
Well, you're probably looking at, I know there's one TV contract that's going to come due. They're going to be another whole TV contract, I think, in 2 years. So long before 2030. So the TV money will probably double. So those guys will be wanting to go to the table again and asking for more than that, because again, it's just based on the bigger the pie, the bigger piece everybody wants. There's only so many pieces in the pie, but everybody wants their pie to be bigger, or their piece to be bigger.
We talked about today, Leatherwood, the Raiders, let him go. The third straight first round pick that did not make it 2 years with the Raiders. The big changes for that franchise, Mike Mayock out, Gruden out. So they're hoping to turn that around, even though they were in the playoffs. But the Leatherwood gone. Do you take a look at Leatherwood, or do you call quit in Spain?
Well, there are two different players. Leatherwood, to me, is a younger version and a little bit different player than Quentin Spain. I don't think Leatherwood makes it necessarily to 31. I mean, Leatherwood, I think there's going to be an offensive line coach out there or an organization out there that says, I can fix any problem that he has. I can get it done. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, if the Bengals are, if he's there at number 31, they'd have to consider it. I would think they'd have to at least talk about it. And they've had an opportunity to put a call out to Quentin Spain for a while. So I think that the injury problem would have to be even more severe than it is now. They are nicked up, particularly at the tackle position. They've got some issues there. Isaiah Prince obviously has got a problem with that bicep. But Quentin Spain is an interior player more than an edge guy at the tackle position. But I'm sure every team has a short list. And these guys probably be on the short list that you have to consider. But I don't know what that list consists of, how many names are on it, and where the names, how the names are ranked. But every single team has a short list of players available at every single position, no doubt about it.
Haas says Volson is Lapp Jr.
Yeah, right. Volson is he's a bigger body guy. He's got a big old frame on him now, 6'6 plus. He's long. His arms are almost 34 inches long, and he's got length. He's got strength. He's got just about everything you're looking for. In fact, I wrote down some characteristics about Volson. Let me read them for you. Hungry, ask good questions. It's important to him. He's prideful, made of the right stuff. Two-time team captain of a four-time national championship team, so understands the winning habits. Intelligent, doesn't make the same mistake twice. He's got strength, length. He's broad. He's thick. He's got good balance. He's got a strong core. He can anchor, and he's got some fluid movement in space. I think he's going to be around for a long time. And I think the Bengals made a good pick with that fourth selection in the draft.
Steve Matthews, have you heard any reliable, there's never reliable rumors of the Bengals attempting to trade specific players that are on the team or attempting to obtain from another team?
I know that, ask Zach Taylor at the presser, you guys, there's a trade deadline that's open till October. And I wonder about the numbers before the roster cut down and after the roster cut down, how those trade numbers have stacked over the last few years, and that would take some research. And Zach said he doesn't have those research numbers, right now. But everybody's always banging the phones. There's a lot of conversation. There's a lot of what ifs, but not a whole lot of them get consummated. It takes two to tango, and both parties have to be satisfied. And look at the one the Bengals made last year: Billy Price or B.J. Hill. Billy Price is no longer a New York Giant, I should say. He's no longer a New York Giant, and B.J. Hill got a contract extension after having an outstanding season at defensive tackle for the Bengals. He and D.J. Reader, they're the guys on the interior right now. Another guy that the Bengals are going to face inside, Kim Hayward obviously can play. Remember Larry Ogunjobi? Larry Ogunjobi's a Pittsburgh Steeler. So Volson is either going to have K Cam Hayward or Larry Ogunjobi?
Yeah, Lou talked a little bit about Ogunjobi being there.
Yeah, playing no, not Lou, Brian Callahan.
Brian. Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's a handful. That's two pretty talented defensive tackles. We know Ogunjobi can rush the passer. Ogunjobi's a three technique outside shoulder guard that is a disruptive force and penetrate and disrupt that running game as well. He'll invert the line of scrimmage. So Olsen, the interior of the Bengals offensive line. How about your offensive line? Four of the five starters are different from last year. 80% of your offensive line is new. Jonah Williams, the only guy starting in the same spot that he started in last year. Every other starter is new. So do you think there was a problem up front in the offensive line? Man, they made it. They shook it up, sifted it out, and they like what they have now. We'll see.
And this leads right into Yash coming, Dave, given Tyrone Smith's injury at Dallas. Pro Football Focus has us ranked 7th for O-line with Carmen at left guard versus 26th last season. Arguably could break into top 5. How significant is this versus the pass rush heavy AFC?
Yeah, well, it's honestly, it's big. I mean, if you are rated in the top 7, and that's very interesting. I guess Pro Football Focus is basing it off of last year's grades for the starters that the Bengals now have in their offensive line because they haven't played a down yet in the preseason. I don't know what they're ranking them on. It has to be last year's performances, and they were with different teams, different teammates, different coaches.
Different teams.
So this is all hypothetical. Hypothetical. They have not lined up next to each other in a preseason game, never mind a regular season game. So that is just like out there, you know, in the ionosphere somewhere. But potentially, it could be a hell of a group. And like you say, that's on paper. And paper is thin. So we need something a little bit more sturdy, a little bit more base to it. But can this be a top 7 offensive line? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. But talk's cheap. Talk's cheap. We got to show it. And these guys are of the mindset to show it. It would be great to have the Bengals have a top 5 offensive line in the National Football League. Lord have mercy. That would be great.
Andrew West, Lap, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does Carmen realize how close he was to being cut? Sadly, reminds me.
Owehi. Reminds me of Owehi 2.0. They couldn't light a fire under him with with an acetylene torch. Well, you know, I'm not sure that he was that close to being cut. But my thing is, right now, you have two things that can happen. It's fight or flight, bottom line, all right? It didn't go the way you wanted it to go. Jackson Carmen wanted to be the starting left guard. There's no doubt Jackson Carmen wanted to be the starting left guard. He didn't get the job. What's he do now? Is he going to fight or flight? Is he going to say, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get that job? All right. Olsen's got it right now, but in my mind, that's a temporary decision. I'm going to go out to practice every single day and be the best I can be and see if I can recapture that job. That's the mindset you have to have. You can't just say, ah, boy, that's it. Lost the job. Olsen's the left guard. I'm done. You can't be that because at some point, they're going to need Jackson Carmen to take snaps at some point during the season. There's a strong likelihood that could happen. And if Jackson Carmen is not ready to take advantage of that opportunity when it knocks, you're doing yourself and your team a disservice. Everybody has to be ready to play. You're a one snap away from being on the football field and being somebody that your football team and your teammates and the coaches are counting on. You have to prepare like you're a starter. You have to prepare to meet the challenge when the opportunity's there. That's the mindset that everybody on the football team has to take. This is the National Football League. Everybody can play.
Andrew West again, can you talk about Trey Hill's progression? Is he capable of being in the mix next year as a starter?
I think Trey Hill had as good a training camp as almost any. Trey Hill had a very, very strong training camp. I think I would, as a coach, and this is the kind of thing I'm talking about when I was talking about how is Jackson Carmen going to approach it. Trey Hill prepares like a starter. Trey Hill is ready to play. Trey Hill at training camp has stacked day after day of solid performance. Preseason game, good performance. Follow it up. Giants, good performance, even a little better. Rams, good performance, even a little better. He is ascending. He's an ascending player. His trajectory is going the right way. I like the way Trey Hill approached training camp this year and approached the second year of his professional football career. He's not satisfied. Trey Hill is hungry for more. Trey Hill is striving, fighting for more. That's what you have to have.
Andrew West has some good questions today. The kid going, the waiver pickup from Pitt.
Yep.
Was fairly impressive.
Agreed.
Thoughts on him returning on the practice squad?
Yeah. Oh, if he clears waivers, he's on the practice squad. No two ways about it. He is a practice squad candidate. And they definitely like to have him back in the practice squad because where did he come from? Pittsburgh. Who do they play in the opener? Pittsburgh. Who has a very good idea what Pittsburgh does in terms of calls and things going on the offensive side of football? Gillum. So, yeah, it'd be good to have him on the practice squad, particularly for that opening week being Pittsburgh week. He could give a little soliloquy and a dissertation on what goes on, not necessarily how they play. You're going to have tape that'll show who's a player and who's not, but how coaches think a little bit, maybe line calls that Pittsburgh uses. Now, you can false call and all that sort of thing, but just intel, additional information. Can it be overrated sometimes? Yeah. But can it help you sometimes? Yeah. And Gillum's a smart guy, and I think there's no doubt that if he clears waivers, I think he's back on that practice squad.
Jim Harden. Dave, just curious your thoughts on the team getting off to a fast start against a weak first half schedule compared to the back half, which is brutal. To me, you have to win the division to make playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the AFC West and the AFC North. It could be everybody beats each other up, but you look at the Titans. All right, where's their competition? It's not a very strong division. So you got to think the Titans might win the division, and it may be a wild card coming out of that division. So now, the second wild card, if you don't win the division in the AFC North or the AFC West, now another wild card team is going to come out of there. What if those division teams beat each other up, and you're looking at a couple of 9-8 teams, you're going into tiebreakers and all that sort of thing. So the easiest road to the playoffs is definitely to win your division. There are no two ways about it. Is the first half, the first nine games of the season, and then the bye week easier than the last eight? I agree. I believe so too. But you never know. I mean, there's injuries. There's all kinds of things that can change that. But on paper now, as you look at teams and you look at their strengths and weaknesses and all that, yeah, you do have to – you do in the first eight games, you'd like to be 6-2. It'd be great. No worse than our first nine games. You'd like to be 6-3, 7-2. No worse than 6-3. Because if you have six wins going into the second half of the season with those last eight games, now all you have to do is play .500 football and you have 10 wins, which could very likely win you the division again. I think 10 wins could win the North because I think it's a competitive situation. We'll see.
And another plug, you talked about this with Andrew Whitworth.
Yeah.
Who we did a recording with today that will be probably the first part of next week. Nate Johnson says, Dave, how concerned should we be with the offensive starters not having many reps together yet this season?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I've talked about this before. Mike Tomlin played his guys, played starters in the preseason games. Mike Tomlin at practice, every time they had a padded practice, shoulder pads, tackled. Full contact, taken to the ground. He's in that school. There are two schools of thought in the National Football League now. He's in that school of a little bit more physicality. Zach is in the school like Sean McVay and a bunch of – it's almost 50-50 that make sure at all costs you get your guys to the dance. It almost backfired on Tomlin. He almost lost TJ Watt. TJ Watt has a sprained MCL. How severe is the sprain? I haven't heard any official word coming out of there yet. Nate Johnson, the wide receiver, shoulder injury. I mean, you do roll the dice and run the risk when you play those starters, but you have to think short term. Will the Steelers be synced up a little bit from a timing standpoint, more so than the Bengals with their number ones because of the way they approach camp? So short term, will they be at a higher level of efficiency? The Bengals might be better off in the second down the stretch of the season because they didn't get beaten up at training camp. The Steelers may fade a little bit, but to start the season, will the Steelers have a little bit more efficiency and all that sort of thing? Or will the Bengals come out because they're so rested and healthy and smoke them? It's going to be very interesting because they're kind of polar opposite of how they handled it. I do think the Bengals will be much better in later September than they are in early September. I think teams are that way anyway. So it's going to be interesting to see how quickly they can find that rhythm and timing. And the one thing that's encouraging, all these linemen that they've signed that haven't played snaps next to each other, they've played a ton of football. I mean, you got the center, two-time Super Bowl winner, right guard, one-time Super Bowl winner, right tackle, been in the playoffs multiple times. These guys have played. They know what it looks like. They know what it's supposed to look like. How quickly will it take them to get on the same page, same level in pass sets and all that sort of thing? We'll see. Veteran players, it should not be that as big an issue as if you had a bunch of young linemen up and down that offensive line. But honestly, nobody that will line up against the Pittsburgh Steelers has played a live snap against next to each other in a preseason game. I mean, they did get good work against the Rams in those two practices that were high tempo, that really good work because the Rams have some people that can put pressure on the quarterback. Those were big days, but we'll see. We'll see how it unfolds, how it transpires. It's going to be very, very interesting.
All right, Dave, we want to thank everybody for being with us on the live stream. We always appreciate it when they come on. Great turnout today. Make sure you hit the like button if you take the chance to do that. If you're not subscribed to the channel, please subscribe to In the Trenches with Dave Lapham.
Appreciate your questions. All good questions.
So we're going to close it. We got to get Dave home. He's been here a long time today. Lynn's going to, I'm surprised she's not calling yet, wanting dinner. Right. So Andrew West is going to close us out. Lap, I love this kid, Gunter.
Yeah.
And you had a question about Gunter when you talked to Lou Amarumo. Looks like he has a real chance to develop. He has the build and the effort. What more does he need to develop?
Reps. Coastal Carolina. The level of competition was not quite the same as it is in the National Football League. This kid flashed. He flashes. There's no doubt about it. But consistency, doing things on an every snap basis, Lou Anarumo really likes what he's got for potential. He's looking forward to developing him. Guy that is going to have an impact, an immediate impact, a rotation on the interior of the defensive line. Watch Carter. Watch Carter play. Carter's going to have an impact. Gunter will help on the edge as well. Hit that seventh round pick very, very well. Watch Carter.
All right, everybody. We want to thank again First Star Logistics for everything they do for Dave and myself. They always make our day here great, no matter how short or how long it is.
That's right.
We got extra pizza to take home.
It's a place to be. First Star Logistics.
So if you're looking for a new career, be sure to check out firststarlogistics.com. I know they are hiring. They're looking for agents. They give paid training, a great salary, and the highest commissions in the industry. And we're going to finish it off with a First Star Logistics commercial that you get to star in with former Bengal, Icky Woods.
Icky, here we go, my brother.
Goodbye, everybody.
At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know,
you gotta get that body right.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Become
become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent, check out firststarlogistics.com.